Namaskar. Welcome to the fourth episode of Satya Samvad. Today we are going to discuss a rather important topic of interest for all of us, given the ideas of democracy and decentralization. Beyond transactions, modern consumerism shapes norms, defines identities, and influences economies. Today, the consumers want the best goods and services for the best value available to the most people. The marketplace is as much about control as it is about choice, as much about embracing aspirations as of empowerment. From chatbots to ChatGPT, artificial intelligence is transforming the way that businesses interact with consumers. And despite the enactment of the Consumer Protection Act, Bharat still grapples with various consumer rights violations, ranging from online fraud and product adulteration to inadequate redressal mechanisms. To discuss all this and more, today we have with us a very eminent and esteemed guest, Shri Somashekharji. We welcome you, sir.
Namaste.
Shri Somashekharji is a triple graduate with a postgraduate degree in law, foreign trade, management and journalism, as well as a master of business laws. He was a corporate executive for 35 years, out of which 16 years were with the Tatas, and later he was CEO of a media entertainment company as well. Post his VRS, he has been an accredited journalist for almost 12 years now, and he has been an eminent freelancer and regular columnist in various fora. He has been in the consumer movement for over 5 decades now, and by virtue of his credibility and contributions, he has been chosen in various advisory and representative roles for the interests of consumers across the country. We're very happy to have you here with us today, sir.
Thank you.
So to begin with, Bharat has been a pioneer when it comes to consumer rights historically. Acharya Chanakya's Arthashastra speaks about the state's responsibility in overseeing the trade and its obligations to safeguard consumers against crimes, with a vehement criticism of black marketing and unjust trade practices. In chapter 2 of book 4 of the Arthashastra, he speaks about Samudgara Parivartima, or the replacement of promised goods after a sale. In the same verse, Acharya Chanakya talks of how traders who deceive by selling inferior goods as superior must compensate for the incurred losses. So how do you relate this early Bharatiya protection of consumer rights to the present day rights of consumers?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mrutunjay. You brought it up very well to start with. Basically, there is a small kind of the thing. See, the connotation rights is a little ticklish for all of us. When you say rights, it means I am eligible for it, you must give it. Normally, this is in a way attached to this communist countries. So they say always, you have a right, irrespective of the thing. See, we modify it, like what you said about Kautilya Arthashastra, the rights go along with duties. Duties and rights are together. That's why even the Pradhan Mantri recently talked about well-being, welfare and all that in a different sense. Anyway, keeping that aside, the transformation, look at this beautiful thing that has happened in Bharat. That time when, I don't know if you recall, you're a very young person. There is never used to be bond paper, all this signature, notarized and all that. Our people throughout the world, they don't know that transactions, when loans were given, they were given just like that, with who is the sakshi or the witness, the sun. Our forefathers used to show the sun, you have taken loan here, so swear on him, you will give it back to me. That is all it used to be. And that word was law, as good as law. See, in customs and all that, we follow that. So from there, it started dilapidating. Slowly, all this newer nonsense came in, and then it got completely broken down, completely. So you got the rogue traders, rogue manufacturers. cheating started to take place in very high kind of the thing. Then, you know, the laws were spread out in its own kind of the thing. There were legal rights in so many other kind of the Weights and Measures Act, the Monopoly Trades and Practices Act, and all that. It provided for piecemeal kind of a protection in all this here and there. It was in 1986. You will be surprised to know, prior to that, as I was telling you this, in fact, in 1972, where I was a student, when I worked in a kind of the thing, I was fascinated by this movement for one simple thing. There was a rogue trader who was cheating people on the weights and measures. Everybody was getting cheated. They knew that it was getting cheated. So in a place called Dakshin Kannada in Karnataka, what happened was people started to speak out. The local persons who wanted to protect this consumer's rights, what they did was they did not make a protest, Allah, Allah, go and catch him, hit him and all that. Nothing. They brought about a raid from the legal metrology department, that said Weights and Measures. They got a correct weight. They put a tent in front of their shop, which was cheating. They told the consumers there, please come, check your weight, if it is all right or not. They didn't complain about anything. So people started to, who got cheated, they came here, verified, they knew that they were getting cheated. They immediately went there. Within half a day, it seems, that fellow packed up, closed his shop and ran away. Next day onwards, he dare not do this again. So the alertness, awareness, and how the consumer movement was going to be built was evident that time. Now coming to this fact, it is in 1986. That too, you'd be very surprised if I tell you this anecdote. Our Prime Minister was Rajiv Gandhi. He happened to go to his friend's house. When he went to the friend's house, he thought he'd get a very good reception. He wanted to spend time there. Poor people, they knew Rajiv Gandhi very well. Poor people, they bought a new television. Television was not working. So they forgot about Rajiv Gandhi. He went and sat and they were worried about fidgeting all that wires and things like that. It's not working. What do I do? Where do I go? There's no protection for me. They told Rajiv Gandhi, Are Baba, kya ho gaya? Why, what's happening? He said, this is what happened. We bought this, it's not working. Kuch nahi hai, upai. So he went back. Meanwhile, some groundwork was done. He called out the officers. He said, listen, this is the way it is very sad. He shared it with them. So since everything was there collated, they brought a boat, put together. That is why on 24th of December, 1986, this act was passed. In between the kind of the thing. I'm talking to you about the... So the act was passed, called the Consumer Protection Act, 1986. Now, as we discuss about it, a lot of things when we discuss, I'll bring out some of the very, very fastly developed things that have happened in India, where the rest of the world sits up and takes notice. There are plenty of things. We'll be discussing that at an appropriate time. You asked me for this particular thing.
Absolutely.
So this was called as the Chitti Act. Chitti Act means it was cut off from the regular procedure of the court. The Britishers gave this land a kind of a court which full of procedures. There were no procedures at all. Mrityunjay got a problem, he will post it saying that I got a problem. That will be taken as a complaint. No formal necessary complaint will be there. Then, no formal procedures are followed. That itself, based on that, only based on facts, not on conveyance, not on kind of this thing. If the facts are correct, he or she will have to get a remedy within 90 days. So it was very simple, cheap, simple. It was conceptualized like that. And the second most important thing with that thing, the development that came about, goods and services. Services also was part of this Consumer Protection Act. It is not that you buy something, you become a consumer. That's why world over, they were a little confused. Who is a consumer? One who buys in a marketplace is a consumer. So one who gets service, is he a consumer or not? So this dilemma is found in our Arthashastra, and wherein we had ingrained in that, even services is part of that. That is why from birth to death, you are a consumer. You may be a doctor, engineer, do whatever you want. And this is the only word, like what you were rightly saying, Bharata, this is the only thing which says of Krinvanto Vishwamaryam, Vasudeva Kutumukam, are all ingrained in this, because it is only here you don't have religion, difference of religion, no caste, no region. You can be in America, you can be in Bangladesh, you can be in Maldives. The rights and duties are the same. Color, language, gender, there is no distinction at all. The entire thing, you are just a human kind of this existence. You are, for humanitarian consideration, you have whatever you are supposed to get, your duties are enshrined. If you perform your duty, you can claim your rights. That is how it is. That is the transformation that has come about. So this is where a transformation from Kautilya Arthashastra to the current day consumer protection in 1986. Now Modi ji, he wants everything in a different kind of a zone. Now what he has done is, in 2019, there are about 6 times the Consumer Protection Act has been amended. Some here and there tinkering will be done.
Yes.
Modi ji said nothing doing. I wanted a total change. Take it out. This does not address the current day market. E-marketing is not there. E-commerce is not there. Advertisement is not there. Product safety, that itself is a great kind of a beginning. Chapter 6 of the new Consumer Protection Act talks about product safety. So a lot of things that are not seen anywhere else were brought to the new act. And in 2019, we have a new Consumer Protection Act, wherein there is also an element called the Central Consumer Protection Authority. It is called CCPA. The roles and other things, when we discuss about other kind of regulators, when I come to, I will talk about.
Absolutely. So I think it's very important to understand that it's not only in terms of the elements, essentially. I think it's a whole re-envisioning of what the consumer rights are, what is the dynamics, essentially, of the state of the market of consumers themselves. And you beautifully highlighted one aspect, which is that of the democratization, which is inherent in the Bharatiya Sabhyata, and how that is also true for the case of the consumer, right? Because this whole idea of identity, or the ideas of ideology even, that does not hold as much sway when it comes to the consumers and their dealings with the market or certain services, let's say. And therefore, it's only natural that we have had a long history and heritage of how to deal with consumer rights and the idea of consumers themselves and consumerism within the Bharatiya Sabhyata, so to say. Now, you mentioned a very important point when you were discussing about the protection of consumers. And that was to do with what has also been mentioned in the United Nations Guidelines for Consumer Protection, which was passed in 2016, where they say that the member states should accept or maintain policies that make clear the responsibility of the producer to ensure that goods meet a reasonable demand of durability, utility, and reliability, right? So these were the triumvirate, so to say, of standards or parameters which they wanted to kind of highlight. So as per your experience and your extensive experience at that, do we measure up to the international standards in testing and other measures that have been highlighted in the international parlance?
You know, I was giving you a broader kind of thing. India is second to none in all its, in every aspects of protection of consumers, as well as what we demand today, the quality of life, the quality of products and things that we imagine or we anticipate are all covered for international listing. We have come a long way. In the sense, there used to be in India, when you talk about this particular thing, we had to go a little bit of into a taxation part of it. There was a, there are items are classified for taxation purpose as in a chapter. Each used to be a chapter. Tariff item 1 to 68. Tariff item 1 to 67. Motor vehicles are classified under 34. Like that, each item is classified into a different kind of thing. Now, in the year 1986 kind of thing, and before that, 1976 to be very precise, some have relation to politics also, you must reckon with inevitably. As I told you, this is one of them which I told you about. You know, there was emergency in the country. Post the emergency, our rights were curtailed. So people had, you know, thrown out the Indira Gandhi as a prime minister. A new setup had come about, consequent to the emergency, in a kind of an alliance which took over subsequently with Morarji Desai, Charan Singh, Jagjeevan Ram, Lal Krishna Advani, Atal Bihari Vajpayee, all this. A new kind of governance came in. I will not go into the details of that, came in. Now they could not govern and they lost out subsequently elections again. When the elections came, Indira Gandhi came back. So when Indira Gandhi came back, when Indira Gandhi came back, she came back with a public support. When that happened, now what she did was, there was one finance minister called C. Subramaniam. He told him that, listen, I do not want people to get angry with me. You should not increase the tax burden. But at the same time, the coffers are empty. I want taxes for development. So without hurting the people, you should do something to see that you collect taxes from people. You understand how difficult it was. And he was a very shrewd man. He caught the point. I would not grant it to the politicians to that extent with my reservations. He told his people in the thing, those in the field, how could this be worked out? Bank, they came up with a new idea. They said, there are a lot of items which are escaping the net of tax. Very, very interesting. I'll tell you this very interesting part of it. This is escaping the net of taxes. So, if it is, say, tariff item 34, 34A, motor vehicle parts and accessories, you have 12%. Another is 8%. You collect as taxes accordingly in different textiles and all. There are a lot of items which are escaping the net. Now, this is also internally, you know what? Huge amount of corruption used to be there. Because it was the central excise inspector who visited the factories who knew better. What he used to do is, there is a U clamp. Okay, the U clamp is classified from a motor vehicle part. Now, this man, if you take him into confidence, you will say it is a C clamp. You understand? C clamp, so therefore it is exempted. He will put it out of the taxation net. If you pay him money, it is to be outside taxation. Now, why I narrated this was, they found it a big problem. In India, major problem with the Supreme Court and courts were classification and tariff tax was a big problem. So, harmonized code of international HACCPE was formulated in 1986, getting rid of all this. We annexed it to the world international market. So, whatever they found in the international listing, we synchronized with it. Therefore, you didn't have a problem at all. Now, you see, in between, I wanted to say a very interesting part of it, which I should not miss out. This C. Subramaniam, as I was telling you, before doing this, V.P. Singh did that. Before doing that, he did a very interesting part. He brought an item called Tariff Item 68. That tariff item was called as not elsewhere specified. You understand? Now, not elsewhere specified means there is not a single item that is not taxable. Everything is taxable. So, if you find that U clamp and C clamp was out, you will put it there and tax it. It started with 1%. You see the kind of thing, how we had. It started with 1%. Year on year on year, from then on, for about 6-7 years, 1985, yeah, roughly about 1985, 6 or 7 years, they started hitting that only. They will not touch any other thing. They will touch upon only this tariff item 68. It went from 1%, 2%, 5%, 8%, 12%. Till 12%, the taxes were coming only from one item called not elsewhere specified, tariff item 68. And in the end, before it got merged with this international classification nomenclature, they found only tariff item 68 was collecting all the money from 1 to 67 put together. 1 to 67 put together was in the basket of tariff item 68. That also puts our people in a very bad light, because a lot of people, industrialists, they wanted to escape the tax net. They were cheating the whole kind of thing. That's aside. Then we come into the international standard. Now, coming back to the product safety, coming back, we got one of the best kind of scientists in the world. I'll give you an anecdote. Now, one simple example. In the year 1954, under the Prevention of Food Administration, PFA it is called, water was not one of the ingredients of food. 2000, water is not one of the food items. It was kept out. It is in 2000 when they realized this folly, because suddenly some NGO was contacted. You know, I can spell out, but it will become highly very controversial. The NGO, what they did was, they were prompted. Somebody paid them money and all that. They were prompted to put up a report. They brought up in the nascent stage, you might have heard, they came up with what is called as a mineral water bottle. Even now, a lot of people use that wrong terminology, mineral water. Now, when they use that mineral water, there's no mineral in it. Anybody who holds a tap water, it puts it there. It used to be mineral water. That existed. Now these people went and found out the secret, whoever they tried. They brought in what is called the pesticides in bottled water. They were planted by a very organized vested interest group. They said, there is pesticides here. Allah, Allah, everything was matched and all. Why I am using this term is comparing to international standards. You are from Cambridge. You know in Europe, there's something called European Union. European Union has got a very strong consumer protection group. They do research. They involve consumer organizations. They fund consumer organizations. Methodically, they consult whether for travel between the countries and all the quality of it. Even they had not come up with a standard for describing bottled water. Did not come up. India, that time Atal Bihari Vajpayee was the Prime Minister. Murali Manohar Joshi was one of the learned persons of the thing. Sushma Swaraj was related to health and both of them were food and disease. Immediately they picked it up. So amendments to the Prevention of Food Adulteration Act was done. They did, samplings were done. Entire thing was brought. They then classified as it is not mineral water. If it is to be called a mineral water, it has to have so much of content of minerals. Otherwise, it has to be just a bottled water. Today, what we drink in this thing is actually bottled water, not mineral water. If it is a mineral water, sold as a mineral water, then mineral contents are to be there, which is specified as per what you said, the right of the consumer to be heard, to be known. What are the items that are there, which are in mentioned in that, which if it is a mineral kind of. Otherwise, it's normal bottled water. It comes under ISI, Bureau of Indian Standards, and they are the licensing authority. And today, we are second to none. We are number one as far as this particular area is concerned. In many areas like this, we have surpassed the world. Even in terms of Consumer Protection Act, it is acclaimed as one of the best in the world as far as our system goes. You know, normal. You can go to the court, you need not be a lawyer, even today. You don't have to be a lawyer. You can go to the court. That is why we consumer organizations, what we have done is, we have said we don't use the word court there. People by mistake, they use the word, it is a consumer court. It is not a consumer court. It's a consumer forum. Now it is consumer commission. Post 2019, it is called the commission. So every district, there is every district has a district commission. Okay. So in that, there are three people, that terminology comes in. So what you determine there in this consumer commission in the structure, you get your normal course, 90 days, you are able to get your justice done. You can go and argue. There is no question of compulsions to appoint a lawyer. Other people can appoint a lawyer, they want and all. For you, if you have any problem, today you can online go for a consumer protection thing. You file online and then you can fight your case directly. And before this 2019, jurisdiction was, suppose I was living here, my house, I come here, I had a problem here. Jurisdiction is to be here. Now the jurisdiction need not be here. If I go back to Calcutta, I can file it from there. So a lot of changes are. So in terms of standards, in terms of approach, we are second to none. In many international kind of the thing, we can pride ourselves that we are leading the country in the world. So that way, there are wonderful developments.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important to highlight that the access part of it, I mean, even 10 to 15 years back, you know, in fairly recent times, we have had many instances, all of us, I mean, have had problems with different kinds of goods and services. And one of the major kind of impediments or things that kind of made us not go ahead and complain, let's say, was because of this idea that it is hopeless, or it is there's no point of kind of going ahead with such a complaint, because it will not come to fruition. Essentially, it will not yield anything of significance, and that has dramatically changed, as you rightly said, because the idea of having the jurisdiction across the country and in a very accessible manner, I think that is something again that goes back to the idea of decentralization and democratization of the processes that are involved. Now, you mentioned about the European Union, and the European Union in itself is a very interesting kind of case study, you know, notwithstanding the various other dimensions and problems that it faces in terms of the political side or the social aspects as well, but purely in terms of consumer rights and the market dynamics. In the European Union, there is a strict surveillance of market goods and services under the Regulation 2019-1020 Act on Market Surveillance, which is the MSR. And in the new consumer agenda of 2020, the European Union has quite strongly kind of come ahead with different kinds of measures for consumer protection as well. So for instance, legislations like the General Product Safety Regulation, the GPSR, then you have the Eco Design for Sustainable Products Regulation, the ESPR, and various other such acts that have come forth. Now, what is also interesting, as you pointed out as well in one of the responses, is that the EU actively involves voluntary organization like yours in these dimensions of capacity building, consultations, and even in policy making for that matter. So I would like to know from you, how are we doing as a nation, Bharat as a nation, in terms of being well equipped or not in this segment as we stand today?
These days, you might have heard, this is a general kind of democracy is getting dying. Democracy is vanishing. Democracy is under threat and all. I just wanted to link this up to our thing. In fact, it is a misnomer. At least those people who say that don't even know this. Democracy is now got deep into it. Means what? Hitherto, for us, you know, from school onwards, what is democracy? We start by the people, of the people, for the people. We just go on narrating it and thinking that electing a representative is democracy. So if you elect a representative, that becomes that we are a democratic country. Beyond that, electing a person, for what reason, for what purpose? It is to govern. And governance is what? Governance is the policies, the interest of the citizens as a whole. Are they involved in this decision making? Like exactly what you have rightly brought it. Those are important. And that, to a very great extent, today you will find that the lawmakers, the so-called representatives, they have very limited role. Their prime minister, even last week in India Today conclave, he mentioned that give me a chance, by 2047, I will make it ease of living will be so simple that he gave some anecdotes. How many days it takes for past, how many takes it takes for income tax refunds, how fast it takes, you know, either to quote him itself, he used to say, you know, you get this form, if this is not there, that is not there, you know, it is all leading to corruption. So he said nothing, make it very simple. Now your passport, police verification, all that is a rigmarole. Now he says that he's reduced. Totally will make it so simple that speed of living. That is why, you know, if you come across, we compare, people say, in the US also, it is not that they are even, they're not corrupt. But that corruption levels don't affect the common man. The corruptions are done at a very high level. It goes on, and we see the presidential election that is going on and corruption. But it doesn't affect the normal person who pays his taxes, who makes a living there. Here also, to the very great extent, laws have been simplified. Laws have been codified to such an extent. You have a right, for example, we will take up this at an appropriate time. Today, if you see, I mean, it is happening right across to us, but we are not noticed. Today, we are completely governed by regulators. In the banking segment, financial sector, the Reserve Bank of India comes in. All the persons who control, who operate through the banks, you have a banking ombudsman. Banking ombudsman, one general ombudsman, one within the bank itself is an ombudsman. They're trying to improve that also. You have an insurance regulatory development authority. Once upon a time, you'd know that if a person, if I remember right, for a trade union or whatever, used to strike and all that, he'd get thrown out. He had nowhere else to go. What will he do? Next day, you will find in his house real estate. A board will be there. Either he'll be an insurance agent or a real estate agent. Today, you can't be an insurance agent without passing an exam for insurance, which is controlled by Insurance Regulatory Development Authority. Food Safety Standards Authority of India, from 2006 onwards till 2016, vested interest spoiled the act from coming into being because it will catch all of them, huge amount of this. And you are aware that I don't want to name the thing which everybody, from the moment I say, will be able to apply their mind. One of the giants, foreign giants, who came to India, made noodles, and they were caught. 18,000 tons of their noodles did not meet up to our standards. They had to be destroyed in a cement factory. Can you believe this? Happening in India. Food safety standards. You have a telecom. Today, India is the second largest manufacturer of mobiles in the world. Including Apple is manufactured here, exported out of India. Highest manufacturing is done here. India is one of the foremost countries in the world which has got 5G 16. In fact, if I'm right to be quoted, we are almost number one on 6G. We started this thing because the Prime Minister is driving it. He wanted to do this in 2020, but suddenly because of COVID, it got delayed every other place. We are now on 5G. 6G also has started. And we are already going to be pioneers. Mark my word, we are going to be pioneers in artificial intelligence. Next level of this thing, because a lot of preparations are going on. The semiconductors, all that coming up, will give us a leap, this thing, into the new kind of. Now, all this, we have a Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. You have a Oil and Petroleum Regulator of India. You have, for everything you name it, is controlled by a regulator. Everything, you have an opportunity. Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, they will put out papers regularly, draft papers. Electricity Regulatory Commission, Electricity Regulatory Authority. Hitherto, it was unthinkable that you will have private companies competing with each other, investing and taking back and saying. Now there is a huge boost. Prime Minister said, now you want to invest, come along, I'll give you some subsidy. You generate electricity, you consume it for home, spread it around. It's open now. So all this, the broader contours are defined by the government. That is why the term minimum government, maximum governance. So the governance is less. Minimum government, the thing, government framework. So in every one of them, to the extent that in the 2019 Consumer Protection Act, there is also a Central Consumer Protection Authority, which is the regulator under consumer, where advertisement also comes under that purview. False advertisement and things like that. For example, you take the case of our vaccines. When the vaccines came, government did not manufacture vaccines. The vaccines were done by two big companies. The government gave a thrust. Why not our own guidelines? But they had to go through the regulator, the Drug Control Authority. The Drug Control Authority of India were foremost with leading doctors, leading people in the medical fraternity who found it appropriate. And tell me if you have come across. Not that I have come across, because maybe I am more of a thing. I don't think Covaxin, which was a product of India purely, found any challenge. Whereas, without naming, you ought to be knowing, other vaccines came into question. Some did not meet up, some post the thing they had. So the question is, everything is now controlled by the regulatory system. You can participate, you can generate a discussion paper, you can call up. So this is democracy. You are the policy maker. Chapter 2, as he rightly said, under the Arthashastra, but Chapter 2 of the Consumer Protection Act in 1986 and the current also, gives emphasis to Central Consumer Protection Authority, State Consumer Protection Authority, District Consumer Protection Authority. It defines that a collector, the commissioner, will have to operate, the commissioner will have to call for a meeting every quarter. And every quarter, he has to meet with set of people to discuss the wellness of that particular area, developments of that particular area. If you contribute regularly, why not? You will get everything. And if all I'm talking about, it looks like a fantasy for you, some of the people, the viewers, I'll tell you a positive contribution. One person called Upendra Tripathi, he is now retired. I'll talk about him. The central, the person, he was an IAS authority. He was from the IAS. He was a brilliant man, very brilliant. He was the managing director of the transport, mass transport. He called some 35 civil society organizations. He gave an edict. Listen, you people hold meetings, discussion, everything, all of you. Go ahead and give all your ideas. Don't go by this framework that this bus has to be like this. This traffic has to be like this. You have no limits. You cross any limits. I want you to come and suggest, how will you make people move into buses and how can the buses become a mode of transport? I was part of that. 2 years, we gave a 500-page report. And that report was phenomenal. We studied in depth. It was a research paper. We said, there is a hub and spoke principle which is going on. This is not working. This is the way it should work. it worked. And subsequently, thanks to him, when we finished, I and one Jai Sri Ravindra, we went back to him. We told him, sir, our terms are ending. It's very sad, but we don't know if it's going to be implemented, not implemented. You have done something. So, how do we go about it? No, Somshekhar, what do you have? What do you have in mind? You have something in your mind. Come out with it. I said, sir, do one thing. Either there has to be a conversion. What we have given, you have to have a follow-up. Or ideal system that has to be there is, you bring about a system where every quarter, senior citizens, physically challenged, women representative, consumer organization, resident welfare associations, bus driver, conductor, and mechanics, plus the consumer affairs department, which is supposed to look at. All of our representatives will come, will sit with your officials, general manager, managing director, all these people. We will discuss, we will give you a feedback of what's happening, what's not happening. That this bus, there's a problem. Redress that. Develop a communication which is of all stakeholders. You know, literally, I'm tempted to tell you that excitement. Then he said, get up. I got missing. The way he told me, I was a little put up. He said, get up. I thought he didn't like it and he shouted at me. He said, immediately, he called his PA. He said, what this fellow is saying, put down in writing. Just type it out. In the year 2005, that particular thing that I mentioned to you here got into a circular. He discussed with us. He made me the co-chairperson of the Commuter Advisory Facilitation Committee. That's what, till date, so many MDs have passed, it is still in operation. We meet, we discuss, and what is the achievement? We don't drink coffee and samosas and come back. You know what has happened? How does that operate when feedback comes in? He told us, Somshekhar, you are exposed to corporates and all. What do you feel about Jawaharlal Nehru Urban Renewal Mission? Huge. Some 50, 60,000 crores of rupees are put into that for urban development. He said, how do you feel? That good scheme? No, I'm not worried about you are saying good scheme, bad scheme and all that. Come to transport. I've not applied my mind, sir, let me think. You know what? Such a huge scheme said by, organized by central government, it left out in that now everything was structured. That it is a kind of a loan which will be given by the central government, which the state government also putting its share. It will give back to the central government in proportions. He said, have you noticed one thing? In this particular thing, they are talking about beautification of bus stands, you know, all other kind of this thing. Where is money for my rolling stock? Rolling stock, in the sense, it is for buses. If I don't have money to put in the buses, government, state government doesn't give money, huge money. Buses will not be added. And even here, if I have to draw for beautification of my bus stand, how will it help? So, I got it, sir. He said, prepare it. I prepared a paper. I was asked to talk to the secretary, All India. He called him to Bangalore. We gave a presentation. Believe me, today, whether it's Delhi, Calcutta, or any other place, the buses are being funded under the JNURM scheme. You go by, you verify it is done by us. We could make this change that we want to be. We don't just blabber on all this can be. We can do a lot of change, the consumer. So, if the consumer participates in every, for example, now, railways, new Ashwin Vaishnav who is there. He says, I want a 5G spectrum to monitor safety security for railways alone. That's come out into the draft form. You people discuss whether you have to give it, not give it, how to give it, all that you discuss. But I have put my application. So it's out for, draft is out. Why you don't want them or why you want it to be. Discuss and come out. So in every aspect of it, in every sphere of it, you have an opportunity. You can improve your standard of living. Your soch pure rehna chahiye. You have to come up with real kind of the thing and improve your standard of living, quality. The Bureau of Indian Standards. This is a huge effort. 192 products were alone there. If I tell you, you will be shocked to know that Indian scientists, Bureau of Indian Standards is full of scientists. Poor thing, for a very, very long time that I know of, with authority, I will tell you, they had no salary to pay them. And you know how they existed? They had to sell publications that they brought out to eke out their salary, scientists. First. And today, you know what is their kind of thing? Modi has come. 2,000 products are introduced into the Bureau of Indian Standards. Bureau of Indian Standards are encouraged. They determine a lot of the control. Hallmarking of gold is done by them. It is not there. It's on par with international standards. So, these things happen because the consumers also must get equipped, educated, must demand. And this happens. So, as I was telling you, what I missed out was, do you know that an ice cream, in ice creams, there's a standard. Unfortunately, Bureau of Indian Standards has not got a mandate which is compulsory. See, for example, today you go for a, they only say that bottled water, ISA marking has to be there. What if the ISA marking is not there? BAS can't do anything because they are not licensed. They can only legally tackle the licensees. So unlicensed manufacturer, it's a different process altogether. They escape. So what I am trying to explain here is, unless consumers take interest, unless consumers participate, then democracy is already strengthened. It is there. For it to take a leap joint, you need to arrive at, you should know your rights. You should be aware. And nobody will come and say, tell me how many people thought people how to use WhatsApp? Which university taught them to use WhatsApp? Nobody. And same thing was a joke, na? When they said, when they introduced UPI and all that, when Paytm and all used to come initially with due objections to the current situation. Nobody taught people how it is. Now, you go to a market, immediately he says, open your wallet and pay me through the wallet. Now, all banking accounts go through the bank, no? So, how does it come about? It's a movement. That movement comes about what? It is we. We generate that. And what we entice people, if I may use that term, entice, in the wrong sense, it means that if we bring people along, I say panchatantra. Like what you belong to and we talk about Swami Vivekananda. Ultimately, what is its growth? Give me men of mind and men of steel. I will transform. Ultimately, it is the people. If five people come together with me and give their name, the thing and all that, whether men or women or whatever, join together, we don't have to do anything. The moment that you show that you are knowledge enough, you have got wisdom, you are equipped, things will change. Drastically, it will change. In many areas, it will change. And that is what you are trying to do. You have done a very good job by exposing the awareness on consumers. And I encourage your entire team for having done this.
Absolutely, sir. I think some very, very pertinent points that you mentioned. I mean, one of the classic examples is that of agrivoltaics, right? I mean, which you mentioned about the way in which people are being asked to kind of harness solar energy, for instance, in a decentralized manner. Now, it has also gone to the agriculture sector where people, the farmers, essentially, they can maintain a certain kind of balancing of the energy sector requirement and the agricultural requirement in terms of shade, for instance, from panels and so on and so forth. So that is definitely something which has been revolutionary in Bharat. Another aspect that you highlighted and which is very important is that because of the safety standards and the standards that have been set in terms of quality, there has been access to medium to small scale kind of manufacturers, traders, people who have been into you know, various kinds of goods and services. So for instance, while traveling you know, in Assam recently, there have been various kind of entities, for instance, in the pickling and the food industry, who are much more kind of trusted now because there is a standardized level or a standard that one has to follow, and therefore people don't have to go for, you know, the large players in the market, so to say, but rather go for even small and medium scale you know, entities and companies, so to say, right? So there is a lot more of access to opportunities and to democratizing the market in that manner. So I think that is a major development in Bharat, and it ties back to Modi ji's idea of minimum government and maximum governance. Now, one aspect that you touched upon and that you have, you know, previously spoken on is that of Swadeshi. I mean, it is something which is very important to all of us who, you know, think deeply about the country. And even during the freedom struggle, the Swadeshi movement in India, ignited by a call of self-reliance, stirred the nation's soul. And there was the advocacy for the revival of indigenous industries and boycotting of British goods. It became a symbol of India's quest for independence, harnessing the power of the grassroots activism and economic nationalism, so to say, to challenge the colonial domination. Now, understandably, we have come a long way from that. And things have changed dramatically, arguably for the better, given the need for economic growth. And we have an influx of various different kinds of foreign investment and multinational companies. So how do you see this transition and the requirement for maintaining standards as well as the interests of the citizens of the country, given these changing dynamics and the transitionary phase that we see, where there is an influx and increase of foreign investment within the country?
Used to be in 1989-90 kind of 90s, liberalization, privatization, all this came up. When even at the WTO, people were, you know, agitated. Our own Vandana Shiva is led that. Very, two of the sisters, Vandana Shiva, Vandana Meera, they did beautiful work on environment and things like that. They protested in Africa. All that happened. And now, world has changed. Global market has become one. You have technology squeezing them and coming together. So even before, we wanted money and we wanted investments. So in a dilemma, people will say Swadeshi. Yesterday it will be Swadeshi because it's 51-49. Tomorrow it will be a Videshi. It will become, if it's transformed. Sorry. Now, this change of 51-49 affected us and became Swadeshi it's very hard to, more so now, Modi is saying, you come here and do it. You export it to the market, we have no problem. Follow the Indian rules and all that. So that Swadeshi mark is now vanishing. But in its place, as you often refer to, is the alternate of Swadeshi, or I would not say alternate, it's a byproduct of Swadeshi, is the Atmanirbhar Bharat. The Atmanirbhar Bharat is nothing but the self-esteem, the prestige of one's own kind of the thing. That it is my country, it is my kind of the thing. We are not talking about protectionism. We are not talking about unfair kind of balances. You protect me because you are entitled or you must have to protect me. It is not that. But here what we try to do is, we are giving you quality products. That is why another terminology you will use is local for vocal. Make people, this is exactly the Swadeshi product. Make people, if you have a choice, right to choose is one of the fundamental rights of the consumer. If you have a right to choose, give the people a choice that they will choose Swadeshi product, that they will choose their own product, which is second to none, except that kind of a, what is it called, figment of imagination, that foreign goods are much better in quality than our own, is now removed. It is not there. We are second to none in every other field. So when we can, you know, rule the space currently in our space technology, so can we do a lot of things that we have our own. So that has marginalized and become thin. And ensure that, see, for example, there's no things becoming fastidious about some of the, you know, just hold it together and say, no, this we will try to see. There is a bombardment, as you can rightly know. The products that multinationals are making, manufacturing, they are competing with India, wherein the ingredient product, the substance here, see, for example, neem is getting patented. Neem is getting patented. Neem is, aloe vera is getting patented. So such sort of kind of the thing to avoid or to make other thing, we should not say protectionism. You will have to be a little ahead of them in their thinking, in their kind of the thing. And towards that, as you rightly brought up, if you try to lead the world, whether it is in the field of yoga, it has now become a completely global kind of the thing. And you ought to be knowing the Prime Minister, just like the freedom struggle, he spoke about Khadi. Khadi sales have grown up 750%. It's a profitable, it's the most kind of the thing. What used to be a freedom struggle symbol, today, Khadi has taken leaps and bounds. Like this, if you believe in yourself, if you believe, you have a choice. If slowly the movement is building, if you have a choice, and people are made to believe that why not things in my own country, parameters being the same, testing being the same, quality being the same, why should I go for some other product? If this becomes our watchword, I don't think there is anything required in future. For example, now the next thing that is happening, which I am privy to, being the consumer movement, I was 6 terms, 7 terms, part of the fuel and oil and petroleum. I used to be in the committee, what is called the SLC, State Level Committee of the Oil and Petroleum. In that, I used to know, I mean, I'm aware that slowly they started introducing what is called a jojoba plant. Jojoba is a plant. They introduced this ethanol kind of the thing as an alternative to petrol to reduce the importation of, reduce the import of oil, petrol. Now, that has increased. Some 10% used to be there. Now it has, I think, gone to 20-25% approximately. So like this, the next scheme that is going to happen now is we are going to be the pioneers in the world, mark my word, in the area of electric and green energy, which is the hydrogen. Work has started already. So we are going to sell to the world. We are not going to import things in the future. Already you see this effect, government giving a thrust and all. So this Swadeshi will have a different meaning now in the context in which it is. So definitely we will have a future which is going to be bright.
Absolutely. And I think, again, going back to the contextualization of the discussion, the colonial exercise was all about handicapping the Indian markets, the Indian production, the manufacturing. So it was draining away the capacity of indigenous, nation-based or nation-centered kind of points of production. And it was basically shifted towards, let's say, Manchester, the mills of Manchester and Liverpool. And then the finished products were brought into the country and sold here. Now what we have done, and that is why I believe that we are truly on the path of decolonization, so to say, is that even though there is foreign investment, there are various different kinds of financial dynamics involved, it is mainly to empower the manufacturing, the production aspect of things, and then make it more India-centric in the sense of us being producers rather than just the consumers, essentially, right? So we are going towards a direction where services and goods are centered around or are kind of oriented in a manner which is more Bharat-centric, essentially. And so that is a very important aspect and manner of decolonization, so to say. Now, an important dynamics or an important element rather of all of this entire discussion, especially given that this is the information age, is this idea of technology and data. Data is said to be the new capital, so to say, and technology is making massive strides in various dimensions of the marketplace and of economics. And I started my discussion with this reference to artificial intelligence also, which has come forth in terms of customer services as well as various kinds of dissemination or the distribution of goods and services, so to say. Now, it is very important to highlight that there are, of course, the pros and the cons. For instance, there are negatives in terms of dark patterns that can be formed with artificial intelligence, where things go in a manner which may not have gone if we were to have the human factor involved. So how do you see, such a prominent activist and an expert in this area of consumer rights, how is technology helping with reinforcing consumer rights and especially the redressal of complaints that has been a problem given infrastructural problems that have remained or the constraints that remain on the infrastructure side?
It is necessity is the mother of invention. And if you look at it like that, in that sense, technology is inevitable. We have all accepted and we want it. Because of this technological outburst, if I may call it so, what is happening actually simultaneously, you invent a computer and there sits another man beside you waiting and watching for the computer, and he starts developing a virus also. So that along with the computer is the nice part of it. The evil part of it comes with the virus. So when that comes as a parallel, alternatively, the cure also comes behind that. There's one more man who's sitting behind and saying, okay, if this man is doing this, I will cure that. So the synopsis or the system is, it is inevitable that when we accept good technology, good and bad, good cop and bad cop and kind of this, we have to first of all be alert and get thing. Today you would have noticed OTP frauds, which are flourishing a lot, is nothing but the technology, this part of it. Before even IA, to that extent of development has come in, fake kind of, this thing is coming up already. The government will think up, this is where it is very, very essential that we have to increase the awareness of consent. It is now more so, not only increase the awareness of consumers, consumers have to be alert to react, to counter this kind of thing. So what one has to really do it is, we should not feign ignorance to that. For example, cyber security is a very big threat. The idea that cyber security, the way it has expanded, is phenomenal. Lord, in matrimonial it has come in. People are getting cheated in the e-market. People are getting cheated in this thing. Data collection. Huge amount of data. What Europe and America is going through, identity theft, has still not come in a big way to India. It is. Before that, as I was telling it to you, virus comes in, you find a policeman coming behind. You will be surprised to know that in the current system, we have simultaneously provided what is called a Sanchar Sarathi. The Sanchar Sarathi is a portal that identifies, if you give your IME number, everything posted and all that. It tracks your phone. It tracks how many phones are used in your name. It tells you, it's a Government of India initiative, which is foremost in the world. What those two countries didn't do, we have done it earlier. There are, like this, there are several things. For example, I don't know if you have heard of pharmacopoeia vigilance. The pharmacopoeia vigilance, you know what happens actually? If you use a drug, which is medicine given to you, for, say, a cardiac kind of thing. They have given you a drug. They have taken, the cardiac surgeon has taken care of his particular portion. True, that is helping him for his area. When you take that, you develop rashes. You develop this kind of cough and other kind of this, which is what we call a side effect. His portion is done, but the side effect has got consequences. So what do? You again go to your doctor, get treated, antibiotic, that route comes up. But is there a remedy that you can stop it before that can act? It is happening in India. In Ghaziabad, there is a laboratory, which is pharmacopoeia vigilance, which has got scientists. Material vigilance, what sort of machines and this thing should be used. We are in a very high kind of a level of performance in that. So suppose you pick up there, what we are trying to tell the patient is, you are the specimen for me. If it has happened to you, all that you got to tell me is, don't tell me your name. A, B, Z, Z. I have to know that it genuinely come from. Tell me where you bought your medicine, which is the medicine prescribed, what, some minimum data. I will go pick up that thing. No, I will not even come to you. I will pick up the sample, test it in the lab. If it is so, that medicine will be pulled out. It will not be in the market. This kind of development is happening in India. And we've got wonderful officers. They're brilliant. Don't have any second thought about it. Where we lack is, the problem is, all that is taken care of is only functional. the good work that they try to do does not reach the people, the ultimate person who is supposed to know this and who has to complete the chain. The chain will be complete not by your research and doing it. You have to ask this person to connect up with you. That is not happening. For which we need funds for the consumer welfare, consumer awareness by these ministries. That's a long drawn out kind of thing. So coming back, it is not the technology that's the problem. The, see, almost 1,500 statutes were removed of the book, out of the book, which was not useful at all for almost a decade or so, recently by this government. Why did they do that? Some kind of rash, aggressive kind of act was required. Something was done at that point of time. Got it. So, in our country, what is required is, we require a mechanism by which the enforcement of law, there has to be fear. Enforcement is where we are lacking. Reaching the ultimate common man. And that is the role consumer organization like ours. That is where the consumer organization like ours play a pivotal role. We are people who are comfortably coming from a good kind of the thing. We are satisfied. We want this country to improve, to have a good kind of thing. We contribute to the service of mankind. So we come out and help the people and bridge that gap. So that will take care of this particular. I don't think any other thing you can look for. You cannot match technology with technology. That's not possible. So interface of technology with mankind has to come up. Only then data production, data safety, everything you can't leave it to the people. I mean, leave it to the government. You cannot, you know, suppose tomorrow you put all kinds of CCTV across and say, no, CCTV government has installed. It's taken care. No. You have to be in your own guard. You have to provide other details which you are supposed to do. That is where I mentioned in the start of the beginning of the program. You should do your duty. That is why Margaret Thatcher uses a very good word. She used to say that when she made the Citizen Charter, which is one, again a very big subject, when she did the Citizen Charter, the word she used was Citizen's Charter. It is not People's Charter. So they asked her, what is a citizen and why citizen, not a people? She said, look, the difference is a citizen is one person who performs his duty to claim his right. So that is why it's called a Citizen Charter. So if you are a citizen, which is a very respected post that you are getting, you need to have your duties also. There's something which you need to contribute to the society to which you belong. You cannot say everything government will take care.
Absolutely.
Which is impossible. That's right.
Yeah. And I think the important part from this discussion, this latter part of the discussion, is the interfacing of the human factor with the technological and the various regulations thereof. Because I think that is the manner in which it is being done now in the marketplaces and in various customer care centers as well. For instance, is a hybrid kind of model of sorts. And that is the way kind of going forward, because of course, unless and until we have an highly integrated correlative kind of generative learning technology, right, which looks at the various dimensions, the various factors, right, variables that can bring in, you know, even aspects of behavioral economics, for instance, right, how people behave and what are the different patterns that come into the marketplace. I think it is not sufficient enough yet to kind of go at it in an independent manner. So, of course, there is this hybrid method or mode that we have to undertake. Now, so that this has been a very, very enlightening and an extremely fascinating discussion today. If you would like to share some last words before we close the session today, I would like to inform the viewers that we have a three-part series with Sri Somashekhar ji, where we will be also discussing about the UIDAI, the Aadhaar card revolution that has happened within the country, as well as various other topics of civilizational and social importance for Bharat and the world over. But before we go to that, Somashekhar ji, if you have any last words for today's session, which has been very interesting.
Basically, I told you, my mantra is only one thing, which I told you is a Panchatantra. If people are interested to come forward, all that they got to do is, I suppose you'll be putting my number there, or my email, they can contact me in their local place. I, for example, in the particular scheme of things, I started with one organization out of my passion called Grahak Shakti. That Grahak Shakti, virtually in the initial stages, I used to have my wife, my children to be part of that whole movement. So it all started like that. Today, we have almost 70, 75 life members, we have got 85 associate members, we got 1,200 annual members. We have structured it in a way, we are huge. It's building up, people are coming to us. Today, we are covered in all 31 districts of Karnataka. Looking at this, some people asked me, why not you make it into other thing? Then we discuss, few of us. I said, okay, I don't have any problem in spreading it around the knowledge that is a thing. So we'll spread it around to South India. We made it a consortium of South India Consumer Organization. There were only 5 districts in Kerala, which about 30 organizations. Today, all 14 districts have got spread out. All Puducherry, we have spread out. Tamil Nadu, out of 30 districts, 12 districts are already there with us. So similarly, we'll be using. So right up to the last taluk, tehsils, is the first level. We'll take the movement along. Then I am telling you, if this happens wherever, whichever part of the thing, Dehradun, Bengal, Gurgaon, Jammu people have come forward. I have started my units in Jammu. So if you spread this message and 5 people come along with me, I will tell them what is a handhold, take you along, demonstrate to you the pleasure of serving mankind. It's going to be fantastic, actually.
Beautifully said, sir. Beautifully said. I think the whole idea of the grassroots movement and involving bringing in the stakeholdership of everyone is something that is also reminds us of the fact that democracy in Bharat is not a manufactured one. It's an organic kind of idea. It is an organic lived experience. Absolutely. And in that, we have the political side, of course, but we also have the economic and even the spiritual side in a manner of speaking, where we have decentralization of experiences. And I think it is very important that in the economic democracy side of things, customer rights and consumer rights is extremely important to maintain standards. And therefore, today's discussion has been a rather enlightening one, a rather important one at that, to highlight these various nuances. And I would like to again thank Sri Somashekhar ji for coming here today and sharing your thoughts with us. And we look forward to the next session that we'll be having with you and going forward in Satya Samvad in the days ahead. Thank you,
Somashekhar. Thank you very much.
Namaskar.
Delighted.